Okay, and when I say one, wait a couple seconds to make sure it's recording before you start talking. So
I'm recording. Do what you want.
One, go.
Yeah. So I remembered the other thing. I did not look it up during the break. I remembered it during the break while I was doing some errands. So the other thing that crypto note coins do that's different from Bitcoin, BTC based coins. Crypto note coins have a smooth halving. You know how I know how Bitcoin cuts in half how many coins per block it issues every X number of months, approximately. Crypto note coins do not do that. It's smooth. Basically, every block is a tiny, tiny, tiny bit less coins than the last block, like fractions of a fraction of a fraction of a coin.
Okay, so it's not like, I guess, like with Bitcoin, where it was just like one day it just happened.
Right.
Nice. Okay. Good deal. So yeah, I've got a couple more questions.
That makes it easier for a lot of things, especially with hardware. You know, there's not the like, oh my God, everyone has to go spend twice as much money on hardware. Well, not twice as much because of Moore's Law, but you know, that thing doesn't happen. It's like people who mine professionally or mine as a hobby continually with crypto note coins can upgrade their hardware slowly. Okay. Or not upgrade at all and just slowly have a degradation, whereas of the amount they get. Whereas, you know, with Bitcoin based ones, just there's this panic every like X number of months from everybody.
Yeah. And apparently the blockchain size debate is still ongoing. Yeah. Which I'm not really surprised, but
Oh, yeah.
Very good. So I guess how long do you think your average computer users like me with my laptop, how long do you think folks like me will be able to mine Bitcoin? Is it going to be permanent, or can you kind of speak to that?
There will not be a time soon when you will not be able to get any Bitcoin mining. Like right now with a laptop, if you tried to mine Bitcoin or even a popular Bitcoin-based, you know, clony coin like Litecoin or whatever that, you know, is far less mined but still popular, you would not get any satisfaction for a long time. Like you could mine for a year and not get, you know, a fraction of a coin probably. But so my home computer, I have a hash rate of like 220. Laptops generally have a hash rate of like 25 to 75. You know, with mine right now, with the current difficulty around 4 million, I can mine, I haven't mined in a few days, but something like, probably 20 coins a day, 25 coins a day, BIP coins.
Nice. And how much you're actually able to obtain is dependent upon your computing power, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
And how you configure things. There's little tricks but some of that's explained if you go to bipcoin.org and click on the link that says mine Bitcoin at the top. That's another thing too that we have that a lot of coins don't have is, you know, I spent 10 years working as a technical writer for a living. So I'm very good at writing tutorials, and the tutorials I wrote for a living were basically for books that were for beginning to intermediate users in everything, in like audio, video, all sorts of things. So I know how, I'm very good. I can do this in my sleep, write tutorials with great screenshots, the right words, not too many words, that will work for beginning and intermediary people alike without condescending, but without like not explaining things to the beginner, to where we have a lot better tutorials on our site than a lot of coins do. A lot of coins just assume you can mine, you know, like we explain it and, you know, like we explain what a mining pool is. We explain, you know, how to get out of mining pool, how to configure things. You know, when we say, all right, open a command window, we don't assume you can do that. We say, here's how to open a command window. And I write it in a way too, that it's kind of a tree-like structure, kind of nested, to where if you are a power user who like, yeah, I've mined other coins, I just need to see what's different about this one, it's really easy to see what to skip. So that's one thing we have going for us, other than the BIPCOT, no government license, that no other coins have. We also want to kind of be like the We're the fun dark coin. We are the only dark coin that's fun. That, you know, like even our tutorials have like jokes in them, but you can tell they're jokes. They're funny. They're fun. People laugh at them. They dig them. People who've never mined cryptocurrencies, a lot of them are mining Bitcoin. It's a good starter coin for people, and it's a really good starter crypto note coin. Like if you want to start this and then go mine Monero or something else. And you know, I kind of want to be like the. Somebody said like the Dogecoin of crypto note of dark coins. I don't like that phrase because Dogecoin, I get where they're coming from. Like Dogecoin actually, you know, it's the coin with the dog meme on it. We have a cat meme on ours. It's unrelated to that. I didn't do it because of that. I did it because if you listen to me, you know I love cats. But and I thought this one picture of my cat was so cool that it looked like it should be on a cryptocurrency. But you know, Dogecoin actually like kind of drove adoption of Bitcoin because it was fun. It wasn't scary. They had good tutorials and, you know, newbies flocked to it because it was fun. Like children mined Dogecoin, whereas there, you know, it was too much of a learning curve for a lot of young people who weren't tech savvy to mine Bitcoin. So I would say like Dogecoin did a lot to spread cryptocurrencies in general. We kind of want to do that with dark coins, but because we believe in privacy, it's not like, oh, I want to fund terrorism and have people buying drugs. No. And I, you know, I don't want to fund terrorism. I don't want to help any violence. Governments help violence more than anything. You know, I mean, people say, oh, you shouldn't use Bitcoin. It's used to buy bad things. You know, money is used to buy a lot more bad things.
Well, yeah, like, if that's the argument, no one should use FRNs either.
Yeah, U.S. $100 bills have financed a lot more pain and suffering and death than Bitcoin, BTC. Yeah, man. But so the thing about Dogecoin is it actually started as a joke by someone who did not like cryptocurrencies, who was a programmer who was making fun of cryptocurrencies, but it kind of backfired and became really popular. So,
that's hilarious.
We don't have that similarity. And they also, there's no end to their money supply. We have a money supply end that's similar to the size of Bitcoins in the same realm. So yeah, man, we're also divisible to four more zeros than Bitcoin. You know, the smallest amount of Bitcoin is a fraction of a penny US worth right now, and it's called a Satoshi. Ours is worth even far less. It's called a squitten, which is a mythical cross between a squirrel and a kitten. A squitten is 1/1,000,000,000th with a B of a Bitcoin, and you can send that. Of course, it'll cost you the minimum transfer fee, which is 1/1,000,000th of a Bitcoin, which we're going to lower. We're going to make it smaller later, but yeah, you can. I have sent several squittens, like single 1/1,000,000,000th of a Bitcoin, and it shows up minutes later in someone's wallet.
That's funny. But yeah, I wanted to speak to your tutorial specifically with a Bitcoin. It's definitely leads to early adoption because I know for me, I had just kind of started dabbling in cryptocurrencies thanks to Steemit. So I guess that's a positive, I guess. One of the only positives. But so I kind of started dabbling in it with that, but I never mined anything before and never really wanted to. But that tutorial is so well written. It's fun to read. And I mean, this stuff is kind of overwhelming for me, quite honestly. But the way that you wrote the tutorial, it kind of made it seem less overwhelming. And it only took me about an hour and a half to set up the mining. And that night I was mining. So it's very, very easy. So for those out there that are kind of aren't really familiar with this, go check out the tutorial. Just go ahead and give it a shot. Give it a shot. It's a lot easier than you think it is.
Yeah, a lot of the if you go look at the books on Amazon, if you look at the reviews on Amazon of the books I've written, you know, some of them have hundreds of reviews and they're, you know, 4.75 stars out of 5 total. There's always a few haters, especially since like I don't write books on how to get rich. I write books on how to make art, basically. You know, like my book on filmmaking will not tell you how to get into Hollywood, and it says that on the first page. Although, you know, I wrote it making my first film, and my third film was narrated by Robert Downey Jr. So weird things can happen. Wow. You know, and you know, some girl that read that book is now like made a vampire movie when she was 9 that read $30 Film School and now is, you know, kind of a famous actress, like child star Emma Kelly. Emmy, is that her name? Emma, I forget. She's in anyway, yeah, so like, but a lot of the reviews said things like you know, this guy's books are great. It's like having a friend sitting next to you explaining things. And that's how I tend to write. And it sounds like you just described that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And I got the girl's name, Emma, E-M-M-A-K-E-N-N-E-Y, from the show, the movie Shameless. She was also in Boardwalk Empire. She's like 17 now. When she was 9, she made a vampire film that won some. She was like in the New York Times because she won a film festival at age 9 after reading her uncle's copy of my book, $30 Film School. I thought that was kind of cool.
Wow.
And
yeah.
It's also taught in some colleges and blah, blah, woof, woof. All the footnotes for that are on the Wikipedia page for it. So go check that out.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. And I wanted to make special note, and this is one thing that's most appealing to me with crypto notes, with the cryptocurrencies, and especially Bitcoin, is the privacy. One thing I kind of was concerned about with BTC was obviously blockchain.info. You can just go on there and see exactly how much someone has in their wallet and all of the transactions, which was concerning. And then also buying Bitcoin from an exchange, BTC. I surfed around for like 10 different ones. Some of them were out of the country and wouldn't sell to someone in the United States. And then others required, it was so bad. Like it seemed like they wanted like a sample of blood to test my identity.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like they want a driver's license.
Some of them want a driver's license. Like I am not sending my driver's license to, you know, here's the funny thing too. Like I didn't send my driver's license to any of them, but I actually tried to buy Bitcoin with a debit card at one point. There are, you know, there's Circle and a few other places that'll do that. And I signed up for like 8 of them. And they all said like, you know, not approved. You know, see in 2 hours you're approved. 2 hours passed, not approved. They kept saying not approved. And I was like, I was calling the bank. Like, what's wrong with my debit card? They're like, it's fine. You know, you have a $900 limit. And I'm like, I'm trying to take out $50 to buy Bitcoin. So I finally find out the last one out of like 9 of these I tried. The 9th one said, you know, we don't sell Bitcoin to people in New York State or Wyoming because of state laws. Mm-hmm. And that was the case with all the other ones, but none of them said it up front. And I had to jump through all these hoops, give them all this information. Like Coinbase is being raided by the government now to get, you know, like all of their information. I'm in that data dump and I never bought a Bitcoin with a credit card ever or a debit card, but I had to sign up for them because they didn't bother telling me, you know, don't bother if you're in New York or Wyoming. Some places sell to New York Bitcoin but Bitcoin has made it so onerous to sell Bitcoin that you basically, if you're running an exchange, only the big exchanges can do it. And they have to have like a person on staff whose job description is like New York State compliance officer. Literally, it's that deep that you need a full-time person just to do trades in New York. But because of New York City and there's so many people there buying Bitcoin, the big exchanges will do that. Wyoming is similar but worse. And, you know, like me and 3 people at the college in Laramie probably use Bitcoin in this state. Literally. I mean, really, I don't think many people are using it. So they don't bother. They're not going to have a Wyoming compliance officer. And the Wyoming stuff is even worse because the New York state laws for Bitcoin, they're horrible, and it is like as hard as getting a mortgage, filling out the paperwork to get Bitcoin if you're in New York. But in Wyoming, the laws are written by legislators, which are, you know, most legislators are attorneys, good or bad for whatever that is. They can actually write legalese that kind of is interpretable universally in some way, sort of. Most of Wyoming's state legislators are ranchers. One of the legislators I knew who was not made up the word for them, ranchislators. So, you know, like they write really legally unclear stuff. So it is not clear. Like Bitcoin exchanges have said, they've looked at the Wyoming statute and it basically seems to say, but they're not sure, that it's either illegal to sell Bitcoin here, or that to sell Bitcoin here, you'd have to have an equal amount of cash, dollar bills, $100 bills on hand in your office in a safe to actually transact that amount of Bitcoin to this state. It's ridiculous.
What? Really? That's really, really odd.
But it's not even sure if you could do that. It might still be illegal. It's not clear.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah,
and that's ranches laters. You know, when people say they want smaller government, like I'm in favor of no government. When people say, oh, well, let's get it down to the state level and we'll have smaller government. That's smaller government at the state level of small government Republicans. That's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I'm guessing part of their reasoning behind that is obviously they like getting their the state likes getting their hands on anything
that's could part be, of it. They're also trying to quote unquote protect, you know, people from fraud. The laws that they're applying to Bitcoin here are actually adapted from the laws in this state for check cashing places, you know, like places it'll cash any check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they yeah. like that's not even the same species, man. You square all the branches later.
And I'm guessing another aspect of it too is they just don't understand the technology at all.
But they fear it. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple legislators out of 90, you know, 66, what is it, 60 state reps and 30 state senators or something. Out of 90, there's two guys that are kind of like the Ron Paul of Wyoming. Then it's Kale Case and I'm going to hate the guy's like my friend. I talk to him all the time. He's my friend on Facebook, but I haven't talked to him in a while since the Tyler Lindholm. Those two guys are like real libertarian Republicans, like for whatever that means. You know, like they're guys you'd want to hang out with and go shooting with, you know, who wouldn't get mad, you know, who wouldn't turn you in if you showed them the Bitcoin app on your wallet. They'd be like, cool, what's that? Explain that, you know, explain them more about mm-hmm. that. They tried to sponsor a bill to peel back those onerous Bitcoin regulations here, and it just got squashed by like old, you know, I hate saying like old white, whatever, but like old, like, and I'm getting old, I'm not ageist, but like people who are, you know, people who like lived at a time when credit cards didn't exist, like that's their view of technology and finance, you know, and they do not, they're still wary of, you know, writing checks, that kind of people. They're scared to death of Bitcoin. And all they've heard is like, oh, it's used to buy the marijuanas. And it's a weird state, man, Wyoming, because we're next door to Colorado. And it's like, you know, Wyoming, you can walk into a store and plop down a bunch of money and buy, you know, a really kick-ass rifle with 30 mag banana clips and fill them in your car and like put the AK-47 or the AR-15 loaded with a 30-round mag and a stack of 30-round mags on your passenger seat in your car and drive around. If the cop pulls over, if you're cautious, you know, he won't shoot you and you're not breaking the law. And you can also buy a gun, load it, and stick it in your pocket without a permit here if you're an adult who's non-felon. And you can do that at a gun store with no background, a gun show with no background check. But a bag of weed is a felony. An ounce of weed is a felony, whereas Denver, one state south of here, you know, weed is legal. Guns are kind of legal, but they're kind of not. Like, you know, open carry, they'll shoot you. It's illegal in cities there, but it's weird. Laws are weird. They're stupid. They don't make sense.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So just, I guess these last quick questions. So if people are interested in learning more about Bitcoin or buying and selling, where can they go? And you already kind of mentioned this, but I want to make sure.
Bitcoin, they should go to BravoIndiaPapaCoin.org. That's BIPCoin.org. They should, you know, the top, there's some links to get started. There's mining, how to mine Bitcoin, how to buy and sell Bitcoin. Exchanges is, you know, use Bitcoin. There's a whole bunch of tutorials on there. If you click on the link on the side with the little RSS link that says something like all the Bitcoin articles, you'll get our RSS feed with, you know, every article you're probably looking for. You can search on there. There's a search field at the top right, like most websites, but it actually works. A lot of this stuff doesn't work on most sites.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you can actually spend Bitcoin now, right? What can you buy?
Freedom Fiends buttons and stickers. Someone is also selling Bitcoin flags, but they don't take Bitcoin yet because we have to get on this other kind of exchange that deals with merchants, which is hard to do, and they want, like, you know, $5,000 a day of commerce to even consider you, or you could pay them $250 a month to put you on, but I don't want to do that. So, yeah.
Cool. Good deal. And is there a mobile application for Bitcoin?
Nope. But we didn't really talk at all about the .bip thing, but if we're out of time, I'll just say, like, on the Bitcoin website, go to the link that says, you know, something like decentralized DNS links done right. It's the long titled page at the top. Click on that, read the short description, download the white paper and read it. It's if you've never read, you know, like I said, this is a beginner's coin for a lot of things, for mining, for using, for transacting, for people that have never done it. It's also a good beginner's coin for reading white papers. White papers are what academics and scientists and government agencies use to write. You know, it's usually a paper between 10 and 30 pages that has a few, very few images in it, mostly words, a lot of white space. That's called, it's called a white paper, that tells what you're trying to do, what the problem is, what you're trying to do, how you're going to fix it, and why you're different than everyone else. That's basically it. You know, the Bitcoin, BTC white paper, I would read after that. That's only 9 pages, but it's really technical after the first couple of pages. But yeah, man.
Okay. Very good. And I think what I'm going to do is just split these into two different podcasts to be released. But if you have time, we can actually get into .bib.
Yeah, man. I got time.
Cool. All right. So let's go ahead and move forward to .bib. First off, since this is kind of crucial to understanding what the hell you're trying to do, what is a DNS?
Okay, DNS is the domain name service or domain name server. Basically, like the system whereby, okay, like google.com, like your computer isn't actually finding that by google.com. It's finding it by a bunch of letters or numbers that are called an IP address. And it's difficult or impossible to remember many of those for most people. You know, you'd have to have an eidetic memory to memorize most of those. So most people most people can remember dozens, if not hundreds, you know, Facebook.com, Google.com, Twitter.com, Bitcoin.org. You know, most people know a bunch of those. They can remember them. They can type them in. They can get there. But DNS is what happens behind the scenes of translating those letters, those easy to human rememberable words into numbers that go to the website. The IP address is the numbers that it's going to. And the IP address is, you know, unique for every device, like every computer on the internet, including like your cell phone, your iPhone, your Android phone has its own IP address. You know, your home computer has an IP address. Every server on the internet serving up a web page has an IP address. And the IP address can change. Like, let's say, you know, you're hosting one place and you move to a better place because they have better uptime. Your IP address is going to change. So you have to go to your DNS registry and change that to point to a new IP address. Now, the way that government sees domains they don't like is they just go to the domain registries, which are all controlled by an organization that's controlled by the United States government for every domain address in the world, every .com, .web, .edu, .gov, .eu, .co, .uk, all of them.
What about Tor?
I'm talking about the human rememberable ones that you can go buy for like $10. Tor addresses are not human rememberable. They're longer than, it'd be easy to remember an IP address. They're letters and numbers and they're longer. But that's another thing that we hope to do is to make like human rememberable, uncensorable pointers to Tor addresses. So Namecoin was the first altcoin. You know, at one time there was just Bitcoin 7 years ago. And then 5 years ago, when Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin, hadn't disappeared completely, when he was still posting on forums, somebody came up with this idea of, hey, what if we put DNS, an alternate DNS system on the Bitcoin BTC blockchain? And 3 or 4 posts in on that thread, it's still up. It's a footnote linked in our white paper. So you can go to the link of it. You can click in our white paper. It's clickable links in a PDF. Not all white papers have that. We do. So you can go read. This is kind of a weird, cool bit of history. Like 5 years ago, you know, like somebody you've never heard of said, hey, let's put domain names on the blockchain because then everybody will have the blockchain and nobody will be able to censor it. You know, there's not one central point of failure like there is with government domains. And the thing you have to remember is, like, you know, most people hearing this might, you know, normal people would say, like, well, the government should be able to take things down because, you know, what if there's something, there's child porn, or what if there's something horrible about the president, or what if there's, like, you know, those are unfortunate. The child porn is an unfortunate thing. Something about the president, that's just free speech. You know, something that's untrue, you don't fight that by taking it down. You fight that by printing more truth. That's what I think.
By rebuking it.
Yeah, like what we're trying to do is make something that's everyone can use, and that is so hard to take down. You could say horrible, slanderous things about me, and there's no way I could censor it. That's true free speech, and that, in a nutshell, is what we're trying to do. And it's really important because America just elected, you know, all over the world, stuff gets taken down. And part of it is finding where it is. And, you know, in some countries, they kill the person. You know, with Tor, you can hide where the person is, allegedly. You know, it may be how the Silk Road got taken down. Who knows? You know, if, put it this way, if CryptoNote had been, if Monero had been in use instead of Bitcoin when Silk Road started, Ross Ulbricht would not be a martyr hero. He'd be a nobody you'd never heard of. And I think he would damn well prefer to be a nobody you've ever heard of than a martyr hero, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So you mentioned, I think you mentioned Namecoin. Maybe I'm.
I did in passing. That's okay, all they deserve.
Good deal. So I guess obviously there are some issues with the Namecoin. Those are the things you're trying to resolve.
Yeah. The issues with Namecoin, really quickly, what they are in a nutshell. First of all, they made it so cheap to register domains that somebody squatted the entire English dictionary a couple months out. Like, you cannot get bicycle.bit. You cannot get, you know, cryptonote.bit. You cannot get bitcoin.bit. Like, you cannot get apple or orange or pear.bit. Like, every word in the English language is squatted. Furthermore, you can't even get those domains if you want to pay a lot of money for them, because there's no like placeholder with them like there is with .coms when people squat them. Like, are you interested in buying drugs.com? Contact us here, you know, and you can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars and buy it. Or, you know, sometimes they're cheap. Like if it's, you know, mycomputer.com, someone will sell it for $200 or something. But that doesn't even exist with, like, basically, I think someone did it to sabotage it. It's possibly the U.S. government, but who knows? Like, they stole all the names. I wouldn't say stole. They bought all the names because they were so cheap to buy. I mean, they probably spent $50 worth of Namecoin that they probably mined themselves in a day to register every name, every English word in the dictionary. And then then at some point, like, what they did was they set a set amount of Namecoin to register a domain for all time. And then, so at some point it was so cheap, someone got all of them. And then at some point it was so expensive, nobody could even get one. And then after that, it was so cheap that like people went and squatted all the like corporation names they didn't get the first time around. So it's useless. And we're going to deal with that by having it tied automatically to the price of gold. And people have tried doing things like this before, but they always do it through a central database. I figured out a really easy way to do it without it having to check, you know, my website or whatever, which could be taken down. So the way you do it is you have all of the nodes have a random number generator to check over a period of 8 hours. Each of them checks. So the first five that return this tell all the others they've got the answer, and then the others stop checking for the answer. So you don't overwhelm the network, and you don't overwhelm the websites you're checking and have them go, oh, this is a problem, we need to block this. So basically, you have a built-in list that would be updated probably every few years of like a text list of the web address of like every search engine in the world. And there's a lot more than just Google. There's hundreds of them. And there's several dozen big ones. So even if you had just the several dozen big ones, even the ones that aren't in English, like even the ones that are only in Chinese, like all of them, if you search the phrase, I forget what it is, it's in the white paper, it's something like current price of gold per ounce in US dollars, like that exact phrase, not in quotes, in any search engine, even if it's all in Chinese, will return numbers with a dollar sign and four numbers that is the price of gold. And, you know, you take the first, you know, each page will return like say 50 returns of like 10 different search engines. Like, you know, not everything returned will be a number on the page. Some of them you'd have to click to go to it, but the software won't do that. It'll just look at the page, find things that are a US dollar sign followed by some numbers and stop at the decimal point, and that is the price of gold. So it'll take like, you know, 10 of those each from five different, or the first five web address, first five search engines. And if you average all those, you're going to have the current price of gold within a few dollars. And it only needs to be within a few dollars. So then that's going to determine, that'll only happen once a week. And then every 8 hours, it'll check the price of BIP coin, our coin, you know, for whatever exchanges we're on. And then eventually we'll run more and we're more popular. It'll do the same kind of check. We'll update it to do the same kind of check on all of the, you know, all of the search engines. And that way you can really easily find out, like, what we're going to do is basically it's going to be to register a domain name in 8 hour periods of time. It's going to be the same price of BIP coin that equaled, when I wrote the right white paper last month, that equaled $8 US of gold. That's how we're going to keep a similar, and gold is like really consistent. And I deal with a lot of like what ifs in the white paper, like, you know, what if you guys all get killed? Hey, the software is out there. If another team jumped on and took it, and if we were popular enough, they would. And you know, the way that cryptocurrencies work is once a majority of miners adopt the software, that's what the software is, no matter what the changes are. So that's taken care of. Like, we want to write ourselves out of the equation, but Namecoin also like destroyed the coin when you registered a domain name. And then for 5 years, the development team has spent time trying to cyberbag and like get into deals with the devil, like Google, who aren't the devil, but they would be to partner with for DNS because they're so controlled by governments. They've even talked about partnering with you know, the organization that controls domain names, all sorts of things to try to get funding. And all they, like, what we're going to do is, you know, the money, the BIP coin that you put in to register a domain name will be paid out to five addresses. 20% of it will go to charities. You know, it's like free domain, free Ross, and some, you know, some other really good like liberty kind of charities, freedom of speech stuff, and free internet freedom stuff, and then and antiwar.com is one of them. And then 80% of it will go to the development team. And that's how we're going to fund continuing development on this and improving it without having to cyberbank. So that problem solved. The other problem was with Namecoin, there was no way to view a Namecoin domain for the average person for 3 years after it came out. And then there was for a while, and I helped work on that. I named it. It was called Free Speech Me. It was a plugin that the Namecoin development team made for one browser. It only worked on Firefox. And then Derek Slopey was like, hey, I have a better idea. He made something called, that I named Meowbit, that resolved Namecoin domains on anything on your system, like any browser, any email, any FTP, any instant messenger, etc. And like Namecoin like snubbed us and actually tried to not pay me the money they owed me. They spent more money on an attorney probably seeing if they could renege on their contract with me. I raised them a bunch of money too with Indiegogo. And I was supposed to get a cut of it. They tried to not pay me, and they hired a lawyer to see if they could not pay me because I didn't even use their code. We didn't use their code. Like because I went and did another open source project instead of staying with their open source project after I'd satisfied everything in my contract. And their lawyer, of course, read the contract that I wrote and said, no, just pay this guy and be done with it. Yeah. So they begrudgingly, at the last hour they were allowed to pay me, paid me the, you know, $800 or whatever was my 20% of what I raised. So for a month's work of, you know, 80 hours a week. So, yeah.
So are those all the issues with Namecoin?
The development team are retarded geniuses is the only way I can describe it. I mean, they are straight up geniuses, but they shoot themselves in the foot over and over again. Like the thing with me wasn't the only time. Like there was this thing called One Name. It was a company that wanted to put things other than domain names on a blockchain. Like basically what they wanted to do was to have like an easy way to have human rememberable Bitcoin at BTC addresses. You know, so instead of having to like type in or remember or use a QR code, like, you know, in an address, you know, in a wallet, you could enter, you know, Michael. And that would, like, if I got that first and paid for it, that would be my, you know, my address. It would go to my Bitcoin address. And Namecoin freaked out. They were like, no, you, I mean, I linked this in the white paper too. You know, like their dev team was like, no, you know, how dare you make, basically said in different words, how dare you make open source software off of our open source software without talking to us first. So one name went and did it on the Bitcoin BTC blockchain, and it's now actually a successful company, and it they make human rememberable addresses for Open Bazaar, which are also really long strings of numbers. So, you know,
fantastic.
And if that had happened, Namecoin wouldn't be dying. People be using it. Other than Namecoin is still buyable. You can still buy and sell it and mine it. And there's a, you know, market in it, but only as a speculation. Like, no one is using it for what it was intended for.
Gotcha. Very good. Very good. And you mentioned you're going to peg the for .bip, you're going to peg that to gold. And obviously, I'm very familiar with Steemit as I used it for a few months. And they have two liquid cryptocurrencies, Steem and Steem dollars. And Steem dollars are what's relevant here, as they are pegged against the U.S. dollar. And I think the lowest I've seen them.
They do it wrong, though.
Yeah, it's like 80 cents in the highest.
They do it wrong because it's not for the developers to decide. It's for the market to decide.
Exactly.
And so far they've kind of been lucky because it's kind of pegged within 20% of the dollar. But I would bet Bitcoin to Bipcoin that's not going to last more than a year.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And it seems like, you've definitely resolved that because it's dictated by market forces. So that's definitely good that you figured that out.
Another thing I want to mention is that we are going to have a resolver on day one, unlike Namecoin. Like, it's going to be built into the wallet. So if you register, you know, if you have the .bip version of Bipcoin we plan to come out with, and we're trying to raise money to build, because it's going to be a lot of work. We're going to have to hire some more programmers or get some more programmers to work on it. You know, if you have that wallet, you're going to be able to view the domains, and it'll be really easy to make light clients too. Like, not every, you know, like you said, like, will we have, you know, versions for Android and iPhone? Yeah, but it'll be part of the underlying plan that we're using is something called a Merkle X tree, which is something new. It's not a Merkle tree, which actually, like, the guy from Open Bazaar, the programmer from it, hipped us to a couple days ago, and we put it in the white paper, and we've decided it has to be in there. I mean, this is a moving target, moving work in progress. Another thing I didn't mention, I had this on the notes while we were talking. There's so many things to talk about here. It's easy to let things slip. But when you were talking about anonymous transactions, like, you know, whether it's with, there are things like Dark Wallet that aren't Dark Wallet, that are actually websites that mix for you. And they're kind of like, people don't like to use them because it's like, yeah, sure, I'm going to send some stranger my, you know, Bitcoin BTC before I send it to some other stranger to buy something. But, you know, there are some mixer sites. They take a cut and they work like they work. But they only work when a lot of people are making transactions. And the same thing is absolutely 100% true with cryptocurrencies. Like, if nobody's transacting, first of all, like, you set the anonymity level when you make the transaction in the wallet, and you can't even set it to a high one. The transaction won't go through. You get an error message if there aren't enough other people to do that kind of transaction. But, you know, you can do anything from, like, you know, zero, which is no anonymity, to like hundreds. You know, like Monero, you can do transactions with, like, you know, an 800 or more right now, which is so beyond, like, literally actually mixed to the point of anonymity that there'd be no way to prove it's you. I'm even comfortable with, like, a mix in of like five, and you can do up to a 10 now with Bipcoin because there is enough transacting going on.
Very good. Very good. And there was one other thing I wanted to mention in regards to pegging it to gold. And you mentioned in the white paper, quote, an interesting byproduct is that in the process of doing this, we're also storing the historical price of gold in the blockchain.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Derek realized that.
I transcribed and recorded an audiobook for Rayo's Vaughn of the Search for Personal Freedom. It was published in 1983, and it contains articles from the 60s and 70s. And I made sure to include the conversion chart just so it's there to demonstrate the devaluation of the dollar. So I think that's a really, really cool feature. I was a little giddy when I read that, to be completely honest.
Yeah. So. Yep. I mean, easily, it would be very easy for someone to make an app that would, you know, instantly a handheld app, you know, for an iPhone or an Android phone that would give you the historical price of gold based on reading it from that blockchain too.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. Moving forward, I think something that a lot of folks I know me especially, when they kind of hear this idea, a lot of people use WordPress sites. So yeah. Are those going to be able? Could I still use my WordPress site with a .bip domain?
Yeah, we'll need to do a little bit of workaround for that. Right now, like, it'll be the same problem that exists with Namecoin with .bit. Like, you can easily make a .bit version of a namecoin.com site, but for now it'll basically only render the front page of it correctly. There'll be some issues with the inside, you know, the internal links from one page to another, but that's really easily fixable with a WordPress plugin, and a friend of ours makes WordPress plugins, so he will make that when we get to that point.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, that's definitely good to hear, because I don't know what percentage of people use WordPress.
40% 40% of the web is on WordPress sites now. It's unbelievable. It's great.
Yeah,
I can see it. I mean, I have like 10 websites. They're all on WordPress.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to. Yeah, you pretty much have to do something for those WordPress sites. So
that's another thing. The Namecoin people didn't care at all. The Namecoin development team don't care at all what the majority of people are doing. Like, the initial thing they did was only for Linux and then a little bit for Windows. And it's like, they're like, oh, well, you know, Windows users don't matter. You know, smart people use Linux or Mac. Even, like, that's weird too. Like, programmers that like Mac, I don't get it. Like, Mac is less free than Windows. But, you know, like, they did not care about adoption. They kept like piling feature after feature after feature after feature that would only be useful once there was adoption. Really, like, the way to do it is have the bare bones feature, like one feature that works, and have adoption. You know, when you're doing something for no money with no funding, you know, or little funding, like, you make it work. You should make it work, make it adoptable, get people behind it, and then start to add the features. That's the only way that makes sense. The way they're doing it is so wrong, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, you got to have a proof of concept, because once people see, like with Bitcoin, I mean, they see that they people can see and they can use it, and you're just trying to expand upon that. So, yeah, I think you guys are definitely handling it a lot better from what you've explained about Namecoin. But you were talking about adoption.
Yeah.
And, I've said this for a while for both cryptocurrencies and encryption. They have to be easily installed and easy to use for your average individual like myself. So how complex is the process going to be to actually set up a .bip website? So I guess how does .bip solve this problem?
We're going to make it easy. I mean, I wrote tutorials on how to do it with .bit. It's going to be almost identical for the webmaster. It's not going to be hard at all. It's going to be easier to register. It was pretty easy to register a .bit in the Namecoin GUI wallet. I registered like 100 of them. But I also registered like Wired.com's version, like Wired.bit. O'Reilly, you know, the huge publisher who I wrote a lot of the tech books for that I wrote, like O'Reilly.bit. Like, I called those people up like, hey, there's this thing. It's really cool. Namecoin, I have your domain. I'm not going to sell it to you. I'll give it to you because I believe in this. At the time, you know, I believe in decentralized DNS, and Namecoin was the best bet a few years ago. So I was really trying to help make it work. You know, I sound like I'm sour on it and I hate those people. I don't hate those people. Mm-hmm. I'm disgusted that they really could have made this work. It could be universally adopted by now as a secondary backup system, and nobody's using it because those guys are such boneheaded math geeks. You know, my analogy in the white paper is Albert Einstein was said to have, I don't know if this is true, but this is an example of what he was like, that he would go out in the snow with his bare feet and catch cold because he'd forget them, because he'd be so deep in math, in heavy math, that he'd forget to go out to dress for the weather. And, you know, he definitely would go out without a coat in the rain. I know that that's a fact. And those guys are kind of like that with getting adoption. Like, they really just want to put math in, you know. And I I wrote a bunch of tutorials for them. Like, I wrote the tutorial on how to set up a .bit website, and that's all on the Namecoin website now. They took my name off it, of course, in violation of the contract before they were allowed to. But, you know, all the stuff I wrote is up there. You can tell it's my style, and you can tell it's my crappy looking screenshots that have like weird blurry red arrows on them. That's how I do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because it works. Because it works. And I like to get it out quick rather than like worry about making it perfect. Because what I would do when I would do it for a book is I would send them two copies of each image, the A and the B of each image. And the A is the plain image without the arrow. The B is like my quickly drawn in red arrow of what they should put in nicely into number A. But when I do it myself, I just make the B. I just make the one with the blurry red arrow on it, but you can still understand it. But it allows me to get back to, like, you know, doing real world things other than telling people how to start from A and, you know, put foot B in front of foot C and walk down the street as a child in something that's that's new to them.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
basically definitely. My answer is, how are we going to do it? I'm going to grab my stuff I wrote off of the Namecoin website and just like basically more or less do search and replace .bip and dot for .bit and Bipcoin for Namecoin, and then go through by hand. It'll be 90% ready for Bipcoin .bip. I already wrote the tutorials basically.
Yeah, why redo it, right? Why redo it? But yeah, it seems like there's a lot of wasted time. And you mentioned that it could already be up and running by now.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, hey, there's no better time than today. So
it's true.
So I guess could you walk us through like how if I wanted to purchase a .bip domain, can you just kind of walk us through the process?
How you would purchase one?
Correct.
I mean, we're so far from doing that it's not I'm not describing something that's real yet. It's in the planning stages, but it's going to work very similar to the way it works in Namecoin, which is there'll be, for the GUI wallet, the graphical user interface wallet, there'll be an extra tab that'll say domain names, and you will you'll go on there and you know, it'll have the current price, like what it is in bips to register a domain at this 8-hour period. You know, you will register a domain name. You'll type in the domain name you want, like say, you know, you want, freedomfiends.bip. You'll just type in freedomfiends. It'll fill in the .bip. If you have enough money in your wallet, it'll register that domain name. The Namecoin registered for 9 months and then it would expire. We're going to do it about a year. I mean, it'll be based on block numbers, so it'll be approximately a year. Theirs was approximately 9 months. 9 months is such a weird amount of time to try to remember, you know, to like people lost their domains. Here's the perfect example, the bottom line you need to know of like why Namecoin didn't get adopted, of how flaky those guys were, even though they were geniuses. They let Namecoin.bit expire and someone grabbed it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Their flagship name of their flagship product, they forgot. Like, they couldn't remember which person on the dev team was, oh, I thought you did it. Oh, I thought you were doing it. Seriously, that conversation is still up on their forum, you know, if you go dig and find it. But, and you know, so to register in the GUI wallet, you will, you know, type in the name. If it's not available, it'll tell you it's not available. If it is available, it'll register it for you if you have enough bips in your wallet. If you don't, it'll say you don't have enough bips in your wallet. It'll have a choice to register it for a year, approximately, for $8 worth of bip on the current price, or for all time for $200 worth. And for the first year, it's going to be half that price to encourage adoption, which some would say would encourage squatting. But really, it's like, how many names are you going to squat for a new technology at $4 a pop? I mean, people will probably, you know, squat computer.bip and drugs.bip and bitcoin.bip, but, you know, they're not going to register 1,000 of those or, you know, 100,000 like they did with Namecoin. The other thing we're going to do a proof of concept thing. I thought of this today is, this would be a lot easier to do than creating the actual like tying it to the price of gold, and the public can register domain names. We're going to soon, we're planning on adding a tab to the GUI wallet. Oh, and in the CLI wallet, it'd be the same, but it would require like a little more geeky kind of like just text commands to register a domain name, just like in the Namecoin wallet. But we're planning on adding a tab that basically what we're going to do is we're going to pre-register. Yes, we're going to like squat 25 names of our own, but they're going to be like freedomfiends.bip, bipcoin.bip, you know, like Derek's sites, agoristhosting.bip, you know, the sites of the other guys on the team, like the pool sites, the mining pool sites for .bip, for Bipcoin, you know, and then the four charities that we plan on giving some of the BIP to. And we're going to basically like, we have a way, I know we can do this basically with like a zone file kind of thing, or I forget what it's called. And what is that thing called in Windows? Anyway, it's like a text file that will like, we'll be able to register like 25 domain names of our own and include, you know, a way to like update it if we need to change one of the IP addresses, but we need to, and the four of us on the team will be able to change it anytime we need to. But we'd be able to change, we'd have to change the whole file at once, which wouldn't be that hard. You know, we can't, we're not going to have like a way to immediately to do individual names or for the public to do it, but it's pretty easy to do this. There's two reasons we want to do that. One is to get those names. So, you know, they're, it's known that they're pre-registered. The other is, as a kind of proof of concept of, yes, we can actually do distributed DNS over a blockchain and do it better than Namecoin did, because the resolver will be with the install package. So you'd be able to view them on anything on your computer from day one. And the other is basically like, if this fails to get adoption, what I really hope, you know, if we don't get the funding or the programmers to do the whole thing, what I really hope is that somebody with more money and more programming in their pool of talent, you know, more people with deep experience and time, like, our guys could do it, but they all have families and kids and stuff. So we need people that like could really devote, you know, 4 months of full-time to this. I hope that if we don't do this, somebody else takes my white paper and does it. I would love that. You know, I wouldn't ask anything other than I want them to BIPCOT license it, I hope. And, you know, maybe they'd let us get first shot at registering our domain names on it, hopefully. But even if they don't, I want this to happen. The world needs it to happen. You know, if somebody squats my names, I'll get like, you know, the real freedomfiends.bip or whatever they do. I want it to happen. I don't care that it's us. But if it doesn't happen at all, and Bipcoin does remain a viable currency, even like, you know, in the middle somewhere and never grows to the top, anywhere near the top, people will still be able to get to our websites no matter what, even if the domains get seized, if they have Bipcoin. Like, we want to be able to like have it be a proof of concept to like, we can update, you know, if we have to move to a different server and you can no longer get to freedomfeeds.com because the government, you know, Trump decided he doesn't like what we said about him and steals it. That's the other thing I didn't really explain in the first part. For people that don't know this, domain names get stolen all the time when they shouldn't be, when there's no crime and no victim. And not even any like due process. Like, your domain name can get stolen from some bureaucrat in a corner office, or even the office next to the corner office sending a fax. It happens all the time. And there's like 43 letter government agencies where people can do that. And, you know, people sit around on the internet all the time going, it's horrible. This thing is happening. The government's doing this horrible thing. And they're doing it on .com sites that can be seized. So really, I would encourage people to like forward this idea and this podcast and the website for bipcoin.org to people. Next time something horrible happens and some politician is doing something to try to take away your rights, instead of sending that out, or in addition to sending that out, share something about distributed DNS, because it's insane to spend all your time complaining on the internet about what the government's going to do to you and how they're going to take your rights and how they took some guy's rights, some woman's rights, when you can actually do something toward thwarting that and protecting against that in the future by just sharing this link. Seriously, man, that's it. I'm done. Unless you got any final questions. Definitely. That's my closing arguments.
I guess I do have a couple more, and it kind of goes along very well with that. But obviously, governments are not going to like this. They're going to hate this idea because they're going to lose if it is widely adopted. They're going to lose a lot of their power.
Yeah.
To censor. So yeah, they're not going to be very happy about it. So I mean, what do you think their response is going to be if this is widely adopted? I mean, are you concerned by that at all?
I'll just say this: if any member of the BIP Namecoin. If any member of the Bitcoin team is ever found dead of a drug overdose, a car crash, or an apparent suicide, it was murder.
Fair enough. Okay, good deal. So I guess we'll begin to kind of wrap this up. Now, obviously, I read through the entire white paper, and I think this has real potential, and it's necessary, as we've kind of been emphasizing throughout this interview. And the focus on adoption is definitely necessary. It's good that, I mean, if it's not adopted, it really doesn't matter, right? So just as with cryptocurrency, entrepreneurial venture, whatever, there is speculation. So if you had to guess, where do you see Bitcoin, and .bip in 5 years? Tough question.
hopefully either powering the internet, you know, protecting the internet, or still a cryptocurrency that still has those 25 domains built into it as a proof of concept, and somebody else with more money and more time who's as pure as us took it and ran with it. That would make me happier than me doing it, because me doing it is going to take a lot of work. I'm not in the greatest shape. I'm not in the greatest health. I don't have a lot of money. I'm very good at like rallying people around me and getting people to work on things for free that don't make a lot of money. But this is an extraordinary project. I mean, the thing that always frustrates me with stuff like this is like, the government could do this in 4 hours or 10 hours. You know, like really, if a guy at the NSA walked in and said, okay, you 50 programmers, read this white paper. I want a working example by tomorrow at noon. They could do it, you know? It's really just a manpower thing. It's a human power thing. I don't have that free stolen money at my disposal like governments do. And that frustrated me a lot, like when we were trying to make FiendPhone, which is this thing that Derek and I came up with to do radio and do podcasts in remotely. That sounds better than Skype, and it sounds like you're in the same room. And I had the idea for it for years, and I tried to get programmers to work on it. I tried to raise money to do it. And finally, like after 3 years of me talking about it, like when you called today, my Skype says FiendPhone, which is the sound when you connect actually on FiendPhone, which finally got built. That audio sample that I made existed 3 years before FiendPhone. I used it as my Skype ringtone, and still do, because I forgot to remove it ever, because I don't use Skype much. I envisioned things into happening, and like I made that ringtone to help envision FiendPhone into happening, and it happened. And you can download it at FiendPhone.com. It's free. There's detailed tutorials. You know, this song, it's basically emulating a $1,500 box that is called a Comrex that radio stations buy to connect over the internet to sound seamlessly like they're in the same room with very little latency. And we built this, and it's free, and we never made much money at it. We raised a little money at it, but you know what? I paid Derek, you know, $1,200 that I raised on Indiegogo for two campaigns. You know, that was the total. Like, you know, we raised, I don't know, $1,600. I kept $400 for my year of work. Derek, you know, for writing all the tutorials too, and answering all the questions of all the like idiots who are like, Mike, microphone doesn't work. It's your fault. No, it's your microphone's fault. like I actually stopped allowing comments on that site because it was just eating up too much time and making me insane and just angry. And everything a smart person needs to know is on that site. And if you're not smart enough to make it work from that, you should be using Skype.
Yeah. Definitely. So I guess before closing out completely, there's one thing that I kind of thought of last night when I was preparing this outline. Privacy. You mentioned that the Bitcoin blockchain is, I mean, yeah, it's anonymous essentially. So would that mean that .bip domains will be too? And I'm not sure.
Not by default. It's not Tor. Like, put it this way. With Namecoin, okay, it'll be hard to tell who registered a .bip domain, but the server will be, you know, people will be able to tell the IP of the server it's on, which means they'll be able to find where it is. Although we do have a plan down the line after the initial proof of concept to add Tor support to make human readable Tor addresses with .bip and do a bunch of other stuff like, you know, register proof of first instance of publishing something, like basically replacing copyright, patent, and trademark, not with the enforcement part, but with the registration of, yes, I came up with this concept first. Like, you'll be able to do that on the blockchain of Bitcoin eventually. But at first, it's just going to be domain names. It's not even going to be IPv6 at first. It's going to be IPv4. We're just going for the basic working concept. But domains that are registered at that point will work down the line when other features are added. So it'll be the same blockchain, and, you know, they will work with the later version. It'll be backwards compatible. But no, it will not hide the IP address in normal use of, you know, of where the web domain is. It's, but there are, you know, there are places and easy ways to, like, I mean, you could do cat and mouse with that too. Like, Pirate Bay does it all the time. Like, their domain name and their IP address has changed dozens of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people basically find it because everyone knows who they are and you can Google it. But with smaller sites, that won't be possible. And, you know, even with medium-sized sites, that Pirate Bay is an exception to any rule with that. Like, you can always find where the current Pirate Bay is, although you can't always because, you know, there are forged sites. Some are like other file trading sites that want to, like, you know, basically steal the trademark of Pirate Bay, of the work they've done. And then some are like, you know, sites that infect you with viruses run by record companies and governments, or, you know, trying to find out who's downloading stuff. So it's really not easy to find the right one all the time for the average person. And, you know, something like .bip would make that easy. When the servers get seized and they immediately get it up, you know, a few hours later to another server in another country, you know, the owners of the domain would just have to do another transaction, which would only cost pennies to update it. And that's the same way it works on Namecoin. It'll work that way on .bip. So the lot will be similar about Namecoin, but the things that made Namecoin not adoptable will be different. That's okay. The bottom line.
Good deal, good deal. So if people want to help get this project made, how can they do that?
Spread this link of this podcast to people. Spread the link of bipcoin.org to people. Tell people to read the white paper at that site specifically. Say, hey, check this out and read the white paper. If you've never read a white paper, read this anyway. It's a hoot, and it's cool. You know, like, tell your friends that, your non-tech friends. Also, if you have money, donate money to our Indiegogo. If you have Bitcoin, donate to the Bitcoin address at the Indiegogo. If you have Bipcoin or Monero, you can donate that. The addresses are also at the Indiegogo. Tell two friends. If you know any programmers that kick ass, that are frustrated in their job and want to do something on the side, definitely have them read the white paper.
Good deal, good deal. And I guess on that same note, have you considered, because this seems like something that, like, Roger Ver from Bitcoin, at Bitcoin.com, right? This seems like something he might be interested, like he could be interested in. Have you considered, like, going with, like, outside investors like that?
I've tagged Roger Ver on this. He knows who I am. He's aware of my work. He actually donated $25 worth of Bitcoin, BTC, to Fiendphone. You know, he knows who I am. Nice. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, that guy's got $50 million and he only gave us $25. I'm grateful he gave us $25, especially since his name of having donated on the list of donators made other people donate. And more than that, made people pay attention. I'm really not going for investors. I don't like the word investor for anything I do, because investor means you're beholden to somebody. I'd rather take donations.
Yeah.
If you have investors, they want some say in what you're doing. And I believe we have a perfect vision of how to do this. We just basically need the code monkeys, some brilliant code monkeys, but some code monkeys. That's a horrible word. I'm joking. But, you know, we just basically need a bunch of man hours of some good programmers with some, C++ blockchain experience.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. So any closing thoughts for the listeners on Bitcoin or .bit?
No, I gave like killer closing statements like four times. I can't remember any of them. Edit one of those at the end. That's my closing statement.
Duplicate it and toss it in there. Yeah,
thank you for putting it in again. It'll be like, wait, what? Didn't we hear that? Thank you for doing this. Thank you for your service to Liberty. You are I'm not kissing your ass. I don't say this kind of stuff to people if I don't believe it. I really believe it. You are a tireless servant of Liberty. You know, I don't like the word servant, but, like helper of Liberty at risk to your own personal freedom by getting a government list and not being swayed from doing it. And you should keep doing it. And you also, you take advice or experience from people who've been down the road you're going, especially with technical issues. And I appreciate that because really, here's the thing. Here's my closing argument. Like Liberty has to do everything that the mainstream Square world does as well, because the idea of Liberty is so bizarre that even if you have great audio and great video and great editing and great storytelling and know how to put something together and know how to do a white paper and know how to, dot your I's and catch your typos like you helped me do, like even with all that, the ideas of Liberty are so bizarre that even if the presentation is perfect, half the people are going to be like, this is nuts. Whereas if you're like, oh, the audio kind of sucked, but whatever, nobody outside of Liberty is going to listen to it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate all the work that you do as well. The years that you put into this and all of the projects that you brought to fruition and also are trying to bring to fruition. So I definitely appreciate all of your work as well.
I'll say something about donating to my projects. I thought about this today. This is a good closing art line. I was thinking today about this woman that I used to know in LA before I got married. She was not my lover. She's my friend. She was actually a really gorgeous woman who was a pornography photographer. That's what she did for a living. Like she did modeling, like straight normal modeling photography. I mean, she looked like a model, but she was behind the camera. She preferred it. And she also like video was a cinematographer for porn and, still photography and video and made good money doing it, but often was like hard to work with. And sometimes, a lot of times wasn't employed and, did a lot of work where she'd get paid like a grand to go work for 4 hours. And it was often on no notice, but when I met her, she hadn't worked in like a month and her rent was due. And she was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, Michael, but we're hanging out. She really liked me, but she's like, damn, you're skinny. This is back when I was skinny, when I was literally a starving artist. And she's like, I'm going to buy you a burrito. I've got enough change in my couch and my pockets to buy us two burritos. Let's go get burritos. You're starving. And I'm like, cool. I am starving. Let's go. She bought me a burrito. On the way back from the burrito, eating it and like us rubbing our bellies and going, that was good. She gets a phone call on her cell phone. Like somebody like hires her that night to go like work photographing something for 3 hours for $1,000. And she's like, oh, you're my good luck charm. So like a couple weeks later, I'm hanging out with her again. She's broke again. She buys me a burrito. She gets another call for like $1,500 worth of work the next day. This happened like four times. Like the first four times we hung out. So maybe I am a good luck charm of if you donate a little bit to my projects, you'll end up rich and powerful. But
not a guarantee.
But who knows? It can't hurt. You'll feel good about it.
Very good, very good. Nicole, it's worth tossing your money towards. So thank you so much, Michael. I definitely appreciate it. It's a fun conversation. We'll have to get you back on.
Yeah, man.
Sometime in the future.
Let's do it after the Indiegogo's done. That'd be a good point, like 2.5 months from now.
Sounds like a plan.
Cool, man.
Sounds
thanks. Like
a plan. All right. And there you have it. Michael Dean, the co-founder of the Freedom Fiends radio show. That's freedomfiends.com. And also Bitcoin, Bitcoin.com as well. Let me check that. I think Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.org, I apologize.
Yeah, Bitcoin.org.
I'll put all of those in the show notes, and you can also find those in the introductory podcast part one.
I didn't hear what you said because I was literally reading an email from one of the team members, Derek Slopey, talking about how we're going to implement this, like the first 25, the tab for just us being on the Bitcoin.bip. And he's like, yeah, we can do it. Here's how, blah, blah, blah. And I'm reading that. I'm like, yes, And then you're like, oh, yeah, interview. Okay, whatever. Yeah, thanks. But no, it's very cool, man. And people should check out your stuff and my stuff and keep rocking for freedom. And part of that is complaining, but part of that is doing things that work towards changing things. You know, yep, and a lot of that's changing minds, you know, and like talking to your statist friend about, you know, why he shouldn't be, you know, a lot of people, like a really common one is people say like, oh, I've got nothing to hide. I don't care if they read my email. Like, don't slap that person, but you want to slap them, but don't drive them away. Like, calmly explain, try to work at them a little bit each day, you know, pick a pet project, a couple people, and just work on them in person. And try to sway some people even partway to liberty. It's worth doing. And really, that's the thing that's going to help you when they're dragging people off to the gulags. If there's like a majority of people saying, I don't like this, you know, literally or figuratively dragging people off to the gulags. Like, the more people, like, even secretly believe in liberty, the better chance we have at survival, figuratively and literally.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I'm getting some good closing thoughts to end this. So, Michael, thanks again, and yep. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, man. Worms.
All right.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.